Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you'll stand and turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, I just want to take a couple minutes and expound on this text, if you don't mind. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's a simple message, but it's a reminder for the people of God to know God is faithful, that God will do what he promised he'll do. But the first word reveals your responsibility and your obligation to God so that God can work in your life and do what he desires to do for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Verses 5 and 6. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want you to help me preach this. I won't be long this morning. But turn to the person next to you and say to them, no matter what you're going through or what's going through you, trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Hallelujah. Give him praise. If I don't say any more about this message, if you got the title, Trust God, it sums up what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is saying. One of the things I want to share with you all is the fact that this word gives us what's called a suggestive command. And it is a suggestion for those who are not yet believers, but it's a command for those of us who are believers. When the word says trust in, the word in denotes relationship, involvement. It means commitment. So when it says trust in the Lord, it's important to understand the word Lord in all caps here refers to the Lord Jehovah, God. It's important to recognize it's talking about the all-sufficient one, the one who is, who was, and who shall always be. When it talks about the Lord, it's talking about the one who started all things, and all things are manifested in him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now this means not to be half-hearted, half-committed, or half-sold on giving God your best, doing your best for God, or believing what God has said. It means total confidence in God. Even though you may not be able to understand how God's going to work something out, even though he may not come when you want him to come, even though it may not make sense to you why it happened to you when you know that you're doing what thus saith the Lord, it's important for you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. There is no place for doubt. There is no place for compromise. There is no place for you wondering why in the points of God's favor. When God says in his word, trust in him with all your heart, all means all. And therefore, it's important for you to recognize you've got to make a choice. Because when you make a choice, the decision you make has consequences. I said the decision you make has consequences. And what you don't understand is God gives us an opportunity to make choices, but he does not allow us to control our consequences. So when you learn how to trust in God, it's a decision. But then there's a twofold part to this. It says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here's an important another part. It's another choice. Because too many of us said we trust God with all our hearts, but we use our own thinking, our own mindset, our own reasoning to get us out of something we got ourselves in the first place. The very word lean suggests that it's off-centered, that it is not straight, that it is not structured where it is at its strongest base. It is suggesting that the leaning has a probability that it's on its way to falling. The only thing that keeps it from falling is you putting pressure on it. And that you ever thought about things in your mind and you were thinking, man, that was something you wanted to tell somebody, and you were thinking how you were going to tell them, but then when you got there or when you said it, it sounded crazy after you said it. See, you hadn't put any pressure by releasing it out of your mouth. So while it was in your mind, it sounded good. But the moment you opened up your mouth and you began to speak it, you began to lean towards your own understanding, and your own understanding was not sufficient enough to straighten out the mess you made with your own understanding. So what am I trying to say to you? That the thoughts that usually get us in the problems are not the same thoughts that can get us out of the problems. And if we had been thinking according to that which was right in the first place, we never would have gotten in that problem at all. So when you lean to your own understanding, you're using the width that you have, the wisdom that you have, the content that you have to formulate your ideology on how to make this thing work. When if you don't trust God and God's word, you'll find out that you keep digging a bigger and bigger and bigger hole for your own self. Now, choices and decisions are necessary. But what is most necessary is for us to base our choices and decisions on the word of God. Not our feelings, not our emotions, not our thoughts, but on the word of God. Next thing it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. You see, my brothers and sisters, when the word says in all thy ways, it's talking about courses and the details of those courses. What you've got to recognize is great or small, God is concerned about it all. And if you are God's child, you need to tell him about the great big old problems in your life. And you need to tell him about the little old bitty things in your life. Because the little old bitty things keep on growing to until they become mountains in your life when you don't learn how to talk to God and acknowledge him and acknowledge his word and acknowledge his will and acknowledge his way. If you do it any other way, you're not going to succeed. The three Hebrew boys, the king had favored them, but when they bucked the king up and told him that nobody should pray to any other god or any other person other than him for 30 days and this golden image they should worship, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, made up their minds that they couldn't do it because they were children of the Most High God. And because they were children of the Most High God, they never got it twisted. God was the one who provided for them. God was the one who kept them. God was the one who protected them. God was the one who provided for them. So they knew they had to acknowledge God in everything and everywhere concerning themselves. So they said, "O king, live forever." That's when the naysayers and the hater reported to the king that these three boys wouldn't bow down when the music played. King said, "Call them my boys." Maybe they didn't hear the music. Maybe they didn't understand the rules. Let me explain it to them. And he explained it to them. And when they got through listening, they said, "O king, live forever." But we do have to share something with you. That we will not bow to any other god other than our God. And when the king heard this, he got mad and had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it ought to have been. In other words, others who had disobeyed got threw in a fiery furnace that was hot enough to kill. But this fire was heated up 7 times greater just to kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But because they had acknowledged God, what the king didn't know was 7 was God's perfect number. 7 days he created this earth. 6 days he labored. On the 7th day he rested. Within them 6 days, he made man. In man's head, he made 7 holes, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, 1 mouth, 7. It was 7 times that the prophet Elijah sent Gehazi down to the sea when God told him that rain was coming, and Elijah prayed for rain. And he went down there 6 times, came back, said, "I see nothing." He said, "Well, I told you, go back 1 more time." And on the 7th time, he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. I'm trying to tell you, all throughout the word, God has stacked 7s. When Naaman had been filled with leprosy, the prophet told him, "Go dip himself 7 times." Have I got a witness in the house? In the Jordan River, and he'd be cured of his leprosy. When the king heated the furnace 7 times. All he did was get God's attention to do something about the situation. And the men that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them into the fiery furnace, they got burned up. But when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked into the fiery furnace, the only thing that got burned up on them were the ropes, the chains that bound them. No smoke got in their clothes. No heat burned them in the flame. And while they were there in the midst of that flame, acknowledging the Lord, the king looked and said, "Did not I throw 3 men in the fiery furnace? Behold, the fourth one looks like the Son of God." I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you acknowledge him, how many of you know he'll make things all right? I could go on with that, but I want you to know this has to do with you understanding your course and the details of your course. Tell Jesus all about it. Don't think you can work it out by yourself. Tell the Lord what you need him to do. Acknowledge him. Let the devil know that you're a child of the Most High God. And God has got this thing fixed. You better be careful when you're messing with a child of God. And then it closes out by saying, "And he shall direct thy paths." The word "shall" is a certainty. It suggests that that is a reality waiting to happen. God is going to do it just as sure as life rolls on. It's something you don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to question. And he shall direct. Now, this word "direct" is interesting because it literally means the straight course, the right course. It means the way that one should go. It literally means that when you acknowledge God, God has a way. Once you've already made the choice to trust him and you've made the choice not to lean unto your own understanding, he literally directs you. You know what the Bible says, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered or ordained by the Lord. In other words, when you begin to trust God with all of you and all that you have, God takes control and he begins to lead you, and all you got to do is follow him. You no longer have to make choices wondering, am I making the right choice or not? You made the most important choices by trusting God and not leaning to your own understanding. How many of us will be honest and say, when I look back over my life, the greatest mistakes I made were when I leaned to my own understanding? Any witnesses in the house? How many will be honest enough and say, the greatest mistakes I made was when I did not trust in the Lord with all my heart? I kept thinking I knew best. I kept thinking I had this thing figured out. I kept thinking if I do it my way, that everything will work out all right, only to find out when I leaned to my own understanding could not hold me up. And I found myself fallen because I could not stay. Brothers and sisters, God wants to direct your paths. He don't want you to direct your path. See, you're on this journey, but God has determined the destination and the destiny. And sometimes the road may be confusing on your destination, but I got news for you. It is never confusing on your destiny. God knows what he has for you. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows what he intends for you. And when you trust him and stop thinking you've got the answers and know that God has all the answers, you'll have a peace underneath the skin that passeth all understanding. You'll learn. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful, anxious, worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, listen, if you pray to God and put it in his hand, you no longer have to worry about it. Because when you pray, and pray simply means to communicate, to talk with God. But then when you add supplication, it intensifies the prayer as a pleading. God, I know you can if you only will. And sometimes God wants to see how bad you want a thing. I tell this story often because it's so relevant and prevalent to truth today. I keep telling you about the story about a man had taken his son shopping in Macy's. And the little boy down every aisle was saying, Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want this. And he turned around and said, come on, son. The boy go and follow him down the next aisle. Boy said, ooh, Daddy, look, I want this, Daddy. Daddy, can I have this? Father looked back, he said, come on, son. Then he went down the aisle where they had the baseball bats and the balls and the gloves and all of those things. And the little boy put the hat on and he took the baseball glove and put the ball in the glove and took the bat on his shoulder and said, look, Daddy, look, look, I want this, Daddy. Daddy turned around and looked at him and said, come on, son. And he walked on down the next aisle. He noticed on the next aisle, the little boy didn't say nothing. He went down another aisle. He noticed the little boy didn't ask for anything else. Then he looked back and noticed the little boy wasn't behind him. So he walked back, traced his way back to the last place he saw that little boy of his standing. And there he was when he got back to that aisle and saw his son with the baseball cap on, with the glove and the ball in one hand and the bat on his shoulder in the other, and tears rolling down his cheek. And the father looked at the son and said, now he wants that. He wanted that enough to stay right there and hold on to what he wanted, believed in what he wanted, and wouldn't move till he got what he wanted. Every now and then, God wants us to stand our ground and say, God, I want this, and I'm not going to move till you bless me. I'm going to stay right here. Sometime with tears in your eyes. And God will look over at Jesus and say, now he wants that. And he'll do it for you. And the last thing is paths. Path. Path always ends in destiny. God chooses our destinies. When we choose our destiny, we make the biggest mistake of our lives. Because the word, Jeremiah 29:11, makes clear God knows. He has the plans for our lives. What God wants to do with us, He created us for that purpose. I know there are a lot of things we'd like to do, a lot of things we'd like to be or become, a lot of things we'd like to accomplish. But God's will should be our desire. Nothing greater should we desire than the will of God. His only begotten Son, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, 100% man, 100% God, broken hearted, sweat falling down like great drops of blood, knowing that his end was near, acknowledged God, said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." And he said it three times, and God sent an angel down and strengthened him. And I've shared with you before, listen, God didn't change his situation because he came to die. He was born to die. His mission was to die. God didn't change his situation. However, he did change how he felt about his situation. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there may be some things you don't want to do that God's assigned for you to do. It's the will for your life to do. Some things you've got to go through, and God won't change that. But what he will do, if you learn to trust him, is change how you feel about that situation. And you'll be able to say, I'm going through.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Greetings, faithful followers and listeners of Dr. John E. Montgomery II and the Movement of Christ broadcast. For the entire month of January, we are celebrating Dr. Montgomery's 66th birthday and his 37th pastoral anniversary, and we are extending an opportunity for you to be a blessing to this great man of God. Surely this broadcast has blessed and encouraged thousands over the years and even brought many to Christ. Glory to God. If you are one of the many blessed by this broadcast, we ask that you seize this opportunity to be a blessing. Simply call our corporate office during business hours at 225-927-0577. 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577 for details.